So many exciting things happening at the beginning of this new year. Of course, attending a weekend service is so important. It's how we honor the Lord, and it's how we express our devotion to Him, honoring the Sabbath and being in community. But I want to encourage all of us to take that next step. More than just attending a weekend service is getting involved in an area to serve and have an expression, to build relationships and involve yourself in community, get involved in one of our pillar classes or one of our community gatherings. And there are so many opportunities based on your need, based on your interests. We have a place for you to belong here at Trinity. Well, I'm looking forward to Sean McDell being with us here in a couple of weeks as we really reflect on and emphasize the impact that our women's clinic is having in our community and will continue to have. So over the next couple of weeks, there's a message that God laid on my heart and a little mini-series, and I've entitled it, Heads You Win, Tails You Lose. And I'll be preaching from one of my favorite passages in Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 28, which, if you were here last weekend with us, I made mention of Deuteronomy 28. And the main idea is that I'm hoping that this mini-series will challenge all of us to begin or to continue to live up to our spiritual status in Christ, under the new covenant that we are living under. We're going to find out that many of the Old Testament promises and blessings have been transferred to us in the New Testament. In other words, a promise that was made to the nation of Israel or a blessing that was bestowed on them is now bestowed upon the church through Christ and upon each and every believer's life. One of which we're going to be reading, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, where God declares you're the head and not the tail. So heads you win, tails you lose. And it's tails, but you know what? You're still a winner. The last two services, it was heads, right? But for some reason, God's going to teach us that we might be in tail circumstances, but we're still the head. We'll be reading out of Deuteronomy 28, so out of love, respect, and esteem for the reading of God's word, please stand to your feet. We're going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to jump ahead to verses 12 and 13. And here is the word of the Lord. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for the blessing that came upon the nation of Israel that is still present upon that nation through the lineage of their spiritual and physical father, Abraham. We're thankful for the many blessings that are upon the New Testament church through the seed of Abraham, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the blessings upon our country, and those blessings were bestowed because our founding fathers and the pilgrims came and they built this nation on the principles of your word. We have strayed. May we as a nation return before it's too late. We pray and ask your grace now upon this message today. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, friend. If you feel spent, overwhelmed, overworked, underloved, demotivated, uneasy, disillusioned, scraping the bottom of the barrel, too anxious, too agitated, if your morale is the lowest that it has been in your life, if you're feeling uninspired, detached, disjointed, disconnected, if your past isn't your past but keeps repeating itself, and if your life is one big question mark, then this series is definitely for you. So here we go. Are we living up to our spiritual status in Christ, where God says you're to be the head and not the tail? If we are, or if we desire to, it will require us to change our thinking, our talking, and our walking, which will result in our life choices being different. So what does it mean to be the head and not the tail? And who talks like this to begin with? Of all the false deities and false gods and false religions and false messiahs and of all the motivational speakers that there's ever been in the history of mankind, no one has said it quite like God has said it in Scripture, particularly here in Deuteronomy 28. Who talks like this? It's not us asking God to make us the head and not the tail. It's God speaking to his people then and now that if you will follow me and obey me and observe carefully all my commands, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. I can't tell you, as I mentioned, I'm celebrating my 42nd spiritual birthday, giving my life to Christ back in 1980. December 31st of 1979, I went to bed. That next day, I accepted Christ into my life. And I can remember when I read these verses for the very first time, the profound impact that they had upon my life. Such an impact that when my wife and I began to have children and our firstborn son came into the world, I said, Lord, I want to speak a blessing over his life. From the time he was born until he was about 9th or 10th grade in high school, when I stopped praying for them when they went to bed every night. But up until that point in time, I would lay my hands on them and I would pray for them. And our firstborn son, the Lord gave me the image, the picture of a lion, like Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So I remember I would lay my hands on him, and I said, Lord, I thank you that you've given Nathan, he has the heart of a lion. He's strong, brave, and very courageous. And like a lion, he's a fearless leader, because you haven't given him a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I said, Lord, I thank you that he is the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He's blessed going and he's blessed coming, and everything he touches will prosper. Could you imagine being raised like that, your father laying his hands on you and speaking a blessing like that over you every single night? I want to challenge all the dads, all the granddads out there, or the moms and the grandmothers out there. It's not too late to find a blessing from God's word and begin to speak it consistently and regularly over your children and grandchildren's lives, and watch what will happen as that blessing is transferred from generation to generation to generation. Amen. My youngest son, when he was born, I said, Lord, you know, you gave me a really good one for Nathan. What am I going to give to Jonathan? And the image of an eagle came. And I said, Lord, I thank you that my son has a spirit of excellence. He soars in the heavens like an eagle. He has a brave and attractive personality. I thank you, Lord, that he'll wait upon you and he'll renew his strength. He'll mount up with wings as eagles. He'll run and not grow weary. He'll walk and not faint. And I would speak that blessing, closing with this phrase from Deuteronomy 28. And he is the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He's blessed going and coming. So what does it mean to be the head and not the tail? You may not like the definition or the interpretation, but this is from the Hebrew language and from the heart of God. This is what it means for the nation of Israel then, for the people of God now, and for America. And that's why America has always been the leader, the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, because America was founded on the Judeo-Christian principles of God's word, and that is the proof and the evidence of God's blessing on our life. That's why on our coins we say, in God we trust, because we know where our blessing comes from. And if we don't get our act together and as a nation return back to God, those blessings are being diminished and are being lifted. So America, it's time to repent. Amen. God help us. But here's what it means. God uses this vivid language when he says you're the head and not the tail, and it means this: you're in first and not last place in terms of three things: prosperity, power, and prestige. When God said, I'll make you the head, nation of Israel, and not the tail, in three areas: the area of your prosperity, in the area of your power and or influence, and in the area of your prestige. And we see that even today. The blessing is still upon Abraham and Abraham's descendants and the nation of Israel. They are the only democracy in the Middle East right now. And they are the leaders in many ways. They are the leaders in technology. In some ways, they're the leaders in science. They're like the breadbasket of that part of the world. It is evident that God's blessings stick. God's blessings can be transferred from generation to generation. Let's just take a moment once again and thank God for his incredible blessings. To be the head and not the tail. Many times when I'm preaching a message, I think, well, how does this relate to a kid going to a kid in elementary or in junior high? How does this message relate to somebody in a nursing home or an assisted living that might be listening to this message? And I declare that you could still be the head and not the tail, because it's not so much based on the activities of your day or your life, but based on the attitude or the mindset that you live your life by. It's about learning how to possess a winning mindset, believing that you don't deserve, but through Christ do deserve to have that status in life, to live under the full measure of the blessing of God in your life, not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is in you. Being the head is similar to getting ahead, taking the lead, being on top, not on top of others, but being on top of your game, being on top of your circumstances, instead of always living under the circumstances. Here's a couple other translations. The 20th century English version says this: you will always prosper and never fail. These are, once again, God's words. The century English version says, Israel will be wealthy and powerful, not poor and weak. How many of you want to be wealthy and powerful, not poor and weak? Can I get a witness in the house of God? God wants you to be the head. Some of you are hesitant. God wants you to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Now, some may argue, these promises, Carl, they're not for us today. They're for the nation of Israel under the old covenant. Well, friend, I would submit to you that the church in the New Testament qualifies for many of the spiritual blessings of God's people in the Old Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, and let's read this verse out loud together. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. We have a better covenant established on better promises as we live out our faith under the New Testament, the New Covenant, as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's thank God for that better covenant and those better promises that belong to us. Now, if blessings are real, we know curses are real. In Deuteronomy 28, there's something like 30 blessings that are listed in the first 15, 16 verses. And then the remainder of the chapter, there are like 120 curses that come upon a nation or upon a person if they disobey God. Curses, like blessings, are real. From the opening pages of the Bible to the very last book and the last chapters of the Bible. And yet the Bible says we are blessed and not cursed. Matter of fact, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Let's read Ephesians 1:3 out loud together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Imagine that. These are the words of God. You, past tense, has, or you have been, 2,000 years ago when Christ died on that cross, and on the third day when he was gloriously raised from the dead, at that moment, you have access to your life, blessings, and not just a few blessings, but you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Look to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. You have every blessing. Come on, you have every blessing. Now, I know some feel as though their life is cursed. And for some, your life has been cursed. But that curse can be reversed, and that your life can begin to live under the blessing of God. God can break the curse that's been on your life, the curse that's been a part of your family, perhaps for generations. The curse of addiction, the curse of drug addiction, alcoholism, addiction to gambling, whatever it might be. There are at times a curse of violence that is attached to one family generation after generation. But when you give your life to Christ, the curse is reversed, and the curse is sent away because the blessing arrives. Let's read Galatians 3:13 out loud together. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Can you imagine that? The spiritual reality of that verse, that Jesus, God in human flesh, he that knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Christ, as he hung on that cross 2,000 years ago, every curse and every sin, and the curse that comes from sin, was placed upon Jesus. And now, through the gift of salvation by the grace of God through Christ, every curse has been lifted, and you and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Thank the Lord for that, church. We've been redeemed. So head, not the tail. Head means taking the lead. Tail means being subservient. The head and not the tail. In the Eastern form of expression, where this originated from, that part of the world, in the Eastern form of expression, it indicates the possession of independent power, great dignity, acknowledged by excellence. Does that describe your life right now? If not, it can. Of independent power, independent from your circumstances, of great dignity and acknowledged excellence. Yes, you can be the head in tail circumstances, or you could be the tail in head circumstances. God's blessing be evident in your life, but you still act like, talk like, think like, behave as though you're the tail and not the head. To be the head versus the tail and to get ahead, you and I are going to need to stop the negative chatter in our own head. You see, the difference between being the head and not the tail comes down to your thought life, your talk life, and your walk life. Your thought life, your talk life, and your walk life. You see, friend, tail thinking and tail talking leads to tail living. There is a direct correlation to what you think, what you say, what you say, what you think, resulting in what you do. What you believe is what you behave. Change what you believe and you can change how you behave. It's not only established in Scripture, but even in modern day psychology. It's been substantiated through empirical research. Matter of fact, Dr. Albert Ellis was a forefather of modern psychology, and he wrote this. If human emotions largely result from thinking, and they do, then one may appreciably control one's feelings by controlling one's thoughts. Yes, you can. Or by changing the internalized sentences or self-talk with which one largely created the feeling in the first place. We talk our way and think our way and talk our way into certain moods, feelings, and emotions which are very powerful, which can lead to actions. That's why Proverbs 23:7, the first part of that verse, most of us know it by heart, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks, as a woman thinks in their heart, so becomes their reality. What you think about, you bring about. Change your thought life, change your talk life, change your walk life, and you can begin to live as you are, positionally in Christ, the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. But oftentimes, we talk ourselves and think ourselves out of a better life. Have these phrases ever come out of your mouth, or have you ever thought them? I don't deserve to be happy. I'm powerless to do anything. Bad things always happen to me. If I keep a positive attitude, things still fall apart. I don't deserve God's blessings. Opportunities aren't the same for me as they are for others. Real contentment in life always eludes me. I'm not happy with who I am. Lack seems to be the story of my life. Being positive doesn't work. Can my life get any worse? Everything always ends up the same. My life gets worse every day. Same bull, different day. I stopped there. I left it blank. You could fill it the way you want. Same bull, blank, just a different day. So put your hand up if you've ever thought or spoken any of those things. Put your hand down. People are looking at you. Why do you have your hand up? See how self-conscious we are, right? The reality is we think ourselves and talk ourselves out of right behavior, right action. So heads you win, tails you lose. Stop, and I want to challenge all of us in this new year, stop talking yourself out of a better life. Look at Romans 9, verse 20. Let's read the very first part of that verse out loud together. No, don't say that. One more time. No, don't say that. Sometimes as parents, we tell our kids, what just came out of your mouth? Don't you ever say those words again, right? But I heard you say them, Mommy. Well, that's different. No, it's not. You know. And there are times that God the Father says, no, stop that. Stop that defeated talk in your head coming out of your mouth. No, don't say that. Who are you, by the way? a mere human being to argue with God. Why do we argue with God? God says this, but we say this. God says this about you, but we believe this about ourselves. Stop that. No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? And we need to stop arguing with God. What he says, what he has clearly said about who you are in Christ, under the new covenant, a better covenant established on better promises. Now, we converse each and every day in three different directions. Three-directional conversation. Outward to others, upward to God, inward to self. Outward to others, upward to God, inward to self. What really gets the best of us is the inward chatter, the inward conversation that we have with ourselves. What is a thought? A thought is an unspoken word. A thought is language. A thought is internal chatter. Get this, they say, and they've done research, when it comes to self-talk, we have about 60,000 thoughts per day. The average person, 60,000 thoughts per day. Guess what the percentage of those thoughts, the negative percentage of those thoughts. The Pareto principle is true, 80%. 80% of the 60,000 thoughts that go through our mind in a given day, usually they're negative. So you have this internal chatter, this not just outward, upward, but inward conversation. When you're waking up, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're drinking coffee, when you're working out, when you're reading a book, when you're praying, when you're listening to a sermon, you are arguing in your mind with the things I'm saying right now. Don't look so holier than thou at me. I know I'm preaching to somebody this morning, right? You're saying, well, I don't know if I believe that. Now, that's the saboteur, right? That's that negative, that's that inner critic. That's saying, well, that works for others, but not for you. Okay, then you're in the right series. You're in the right church. You're in the right service today. God has our number. This is the constant internal chatter. And this noise is filled with opinion, judgments, fears, doubts, criticisms, accusations, excuses, alibis, justifications, rationalizations, temptations, and the list goes on and on. These thoughts become continuous loops in our mind, and we become conditioned by them, and it's the internal story that we have told ourselves, for many of us, for decades, for the entirety of our life, and that we keep retelling the same story, and that story needs to be interrupted, and we need to develop a new story about who we are and about our life and about our future according to what God says. Quit arguing with your creator. If he says you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, if he said you're blessed, going and coming, and everything you do will prosper, you need to begin to believe that, think that, talk that, and act it out in Jesus' name. The connection between what we say and how we feel is not only declared clearly in Scripture, but has also been known for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. Philosophers like Wittgenstein and Heidelberg and Gadamer, they all confirm what we know biblically. Matter of fact, Wittgenstein said this: the harmony between thought and reality can be found in the grammar of the language. What you say, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why last year, at this time, we had a very important series. Last year, same place, same time, 1 year ago this month, we were in a series entitled, I don't expect anyone to remember it, but I am a man of faith and hope. I'll help you out. Words create worlds. Remember that? See, I could re-preach that. I could say, we're starting a brand new series today entitled Words Create Worlds. You'd be like, wow, that's awesome. I never heard that before. Yeah, you did a year ago. But that's okay. I even forget my own messages. Sometimes people say, hey, I have a friend, preacher friend calls me, hey, what'd you preach on last week? I'm like, I don't know. Let me look at my, oh, then I get the title. I go, okay, now I know, now I remember, right? So last year, same time, I felt inspired of the Lord to speak about how the power of your confession, the power of words. And then a year later, I'm praying. I'm like, what should I preach on? Well, this was in my files to do a message on heads, you know, heads you win, tails you lose. And I just felt the Holy Spirit release a this. I said, but it's similar. He said, they won't remember anyway. I'm just kidding, he didn't say that. But it's the same truth presented just in a different angle until we begin to live that truth, right? So we went through this last year, the same time, same place, year ago, this month. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Now, we're not talking about positive thinking. We're not talking about using personal affirmations. The junkyard of the unpublished and discontinued self-help books is littered with those two topics. What we are addressing is biblical truth, principles that can revolutionize your life. It's amazing how we think ourselves and talk ourselves out of doing the right things in life. From something as simple as not making up your bed in the morning. We talk ourselves out of it. We get out of bed, you should make your bed, right? A voice says you should make your bed. You know, a life of order and versus a life of disorder and, all that. And then we talk ourselves out of it. I'm going to be back in bed, in 12 hours. Some of you, in 4 hours, you think, 4 hours, I'll be back in bed. Right? Just leave it unmade. Nobody's going to see it anyway, right? We think and talk ourselves out of doing the things we should do, right? Or, here's a good one. I'm the first one out of bed. My wife should make the bed if she's the last one out of the bed. So we rationalize things, right? And the bed goes unmade. We do that with laundry. We do that with other responsibilities. We do that with our finances. We do that with going to the gym. Don't shout me down now. It's a new year, right? Well, it's too cold. There's too many people there. They all hog the machines. All that's true. Smelly people go to the gym. Yes, that's true. But you know what? You got to quit associating the things you want to do, the things you need to do, with negative thoughts and negative speech, because it begins to spill into every other important area in our life. So heads you win, tails you lose. First, stop talking yourself out of a better life. And second, stop thinking yourself out of a better life. Let's read Isaiah 26:3 out loud together. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. All whose, I love that, thoughts are fixed on God. Are your thoughts being fixed on God? Marcus Aurelius, he said, in your thoughts don't wander. How true that is. You see, right now your thoughts are wandering. What am I going to eat? Where should we go? It's a beautiful day out there. The Cowboys won yesterday. Yeah, but it didn't really matter. But they won. Hopefully it'll be better than the playoffs. Fix your thoughts. Get control of your thoughts right here, right now. Let's practice this, right? You want to have laser focus if you want to accomplish your goals. If you want to solve problems, you got to quit being fixed on the problem and fix your mind on a solution. Look at James 1:8. Let's read it out loud together. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's a man or a woman whose thoughts wander, whose thoughts are not fixed. You have to learn how to discipline yourself. Hey, if you're walking and you notice that there's a rock in your shoe or in your sock, what do? Next available opportunity, you sit down, you take your shoe off, you take your sock off, you get that little pesky rock out, and then you put your foot back in your shoe and start to walk. What should we do if we have these pesky thoughts that keep rattling around in our brain? Stop, delete them, fix your mind and your thoughts on God, trust in Him, and guess what will happen? Peace will flood your heart. Peace will flood your mind. The worry, you say, well, I'm trying to, worry doesn't solve problems. Don't deceive yourself thinking, well, if I don't worry about a problem, it'll never get solved. No, worry makes things worse. Find a positive solution. Many times our thoughts really are fixed on the wrong things, on the wrong memories, on how people hurt us or even injured us. Once again, Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic philosopher turned Roman emperor, he said this, here's a rule to remember. In the future, when anything tempts you to feel bitter, not this is misfortune, but to bear this worthily is good fortune. That's a wise saying. That's what Joseph did. All the unfortunate misfortune that came into his life, he could have said, my life is cursed. Why are all these bad things happening to me? But he didn't frame it that way. It's so important in life, the events that unfold and the things that happen in your life, it's how you interpret them. If you interpret them in light of I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, that I live under the blessing of God, then you're going to frame them differently as Joseph did in Genesis 50, verse 20. He said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. The power of how you interpret the events that occur in your life, even the times when there may be personal failure, other people doing bad things to you. Yeah, it was meant for evil, but God in his goodness can use it for his glory and for my good. How many people, they carry past hurts with them? You got to forgive, you got to forget, you have to move on. Now listen, friend, Jesus was never hurt by the mean, cruel, hateful, evil things people said about him. He never once internalized the hateful things that people said about him, but he was injured. That's why there's a difference in being hurt in life and being injured in life. Jesus was never hurt because he never took it personally, the hateful things that people said, nor should any of you. But he was injured on that cross. He felt every blow leading up to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. His back was shred apart. His back was bleeding. His brow from the crown of thorns was bleeding. He felt the beard being pulled from his face. He felt the injury and the pain, and yet, as he hung on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Why is it so many times that we go through life hurt and wounded? It's because we don't allow God to heal those hurts. We don't forgive. We don't forget, and we don't move on. Heads you win, tails you lose. First, stop talking yourself out of a better life. Second, stop thinking yourself out of a better life. And finally, number three, start acting yourself into a better life. Start acting yourself into a better life. Let's read John 13, 17 out loud together. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. It's not enough to know them. It's not enough to think about them. It's not enough to confess them or talk about them. That's important. I hope we've established that already. But it's about what you do. What you do with what you know is what will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, blessed going and coming. James 2:17, let's read this verse out loud together. Thus, faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. Unaccompanied by actions, all the talk, all the faith, all the belief amounts to nothing. Jesus said, you're going to be blessed, and we all want to be blessed, and that word blessed means everything in the Old and the New Testament. Every single blessing is in that one word, blessed. If you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. I want to challenge all of us. Do something. And do something now. I have a pastor that I met. Great guy, great leader, great preacher, great former NFL player, Miles McPherson, pastor of the great Church on the Rock there in San Diego, or Rock Church in San Diego. And many, many years ago, he wrote a book called, and he gave it to many of us pastors at a conference I was at, and the name of the book was this, Do Something Now. That's just a great title of a book. Do something now. Now. Like, what can you do today? Today. Because action creates reality. Inaction also creates reality. Do something now. Napoleon Hill, he said, if you can't do great things, then do small things in a great way. Oh, that's a great quote. Just do something now. Take that first step. As small of a step as it might be. What's the old saying? The journey of a 1,000 miles begins what? With the first step. Just do something. If you want to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, you got to think differently, you have to talk differently, and then it will empower you to make different life choices, which will result in change. Another great Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, pre-Socratic Greek philosophy, said this, character is fate. A better way to interpret from the Greek to the English is not so much character is fate as habit is destiny. Carl Jung said, the father of modern-day psychology, he said, you're not what you think, You are what you do. You see, these men understood truth, whether they gave God glory for it or not. If something's true, it's true, and it's traceable all the way back to God. Whether the person that said it gives God the credit for it or not is immaterial. The fact that it's true means God gets the glory for all truth. Can I get a witness in the house of God? And habit is destiny. You want to change your future? Change what you do starting today. Take small steps in the right direction, and then small steps lead to big steps. First you sit, then you walk, and then you stand. That's Watchman Nee's famous book on the book of Ephesians. The spiritual positions. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're to walk out our faith, and we're to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Sit, walk, stand. Or as Isaiah 40 says, you'll mount up with wings as of eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. You crawl, you walk, you run, you soar. But you got to start somewhere. You've got to take that first step. And friend, I was rereading Isaiah 43 over the last couple of weeks. In Isaiah 43, God, through Isaiah, makes it very clear that God makes a way where there seems to be no way. As I quoted last weekend in the end of worship service, verse 19, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not notice it? Do you not see it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's what God's able to do. Where there seems to be no way, God can make a way. Where there might be a mountain in front of you. Who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain with shouts of grace, grace. Whatever obstacle or impediment is in your way, God can take you through it, over it, under it, or around it. But you can get by it. Matter of fact, if I can quote Marcus Aurelius one more time, he said, the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. There's something about an obstacle that will motivate us to do something either for or against our best interests. There's something about an impediment. There's something about a problem. There's something about an obstacle that will motivate us to do one thing, either for or against our best interests. And so when we see obstacles, many times we have to understand that's a signpost that you are headed in the right direction. The greater the opposition, the greater the blessing on the other side of the opposition. In other words, opposition does lead to action. That's what the Roman emperor was saying. When the odds are against you, God's against the odds, friend. And if God be for you, who could be against you? You've got to begin to live your life as though this is going to sound tricky, but listen. You have to begin to live your life as though I deserve the blessings of God. Now, I don't deserve them. You don't deserve them. But through Christ and in Christ, you deserve them. Not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is in you. If you knew my life before I got saved, you would be scratching your head right now trying to figure out, how did that guy get to this place in life? How did that guy marry that woman over there? How does that guy? I was at Longhorn Steakhouse Friday night. My wife and son are working on this new, not a new house, a 50-year-old house that they just bought. And they're getting married, blah, blah, blah. They're painting everything, every square inch, 1,800 square, everything's being painted. It's a lot of work. I'm doing my best to get out of it. So they needed food delivered. So I said, all right, I'll go to Longhorn. So I go there, right, and it's jam-packed. I can't even call on the phone. They say, yeah, you have to order online. Well, that's complicated. You know, you got to put your email, and that takes, anyway. And they say, well, you can come in and order. So I walk in. It's jam-packed, right? And there's no seats. It's like an hour wait. But I do know this, that if a tabletop in the bar area opens up, it's first come, first serve. So favor of God, I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I'm blessed going and coming. I walk in, and guess what? A table opens up in the bar area. A table of four. So I sit down, and I felt like I was hogging it, because like elder ladies are trying to find a seat, you know, in the waiting area, blah, blah, blah. And I see these two guys, and I said, hey, you know, I got some, I'm waiting for an order, and you guys can sit here if you want. I said, you sure? I said, yeah. So they kind of grab a little seat there, kind of get out of the way. And instead, we start talking. They said, what's your name? And we introduced each other. You know, and they said, what do you do? I said, well, what do you, first of all, I said, so what do you guys do? And the guy told me what he did, you know. And then the guy curiously looked at me and goes, what do you do? When people ask me that, I love to say the same thing. Guess. So he says, insurance business. I said, no. Real estate. No. I was hoping he'd say, like, astrophysicist, astronaut, you know, like, five-star general. I said, no. And the other guy says, I know what you do. I said, what's that? He goes, you're that pastor over at Trinity. I said, yes, I am. He said, I attend sometimes. I said, what's the sometimes? I hate when people say, I attend sometimes, or I used to attend. Please don't tell me that. Just say, oh, I know about, don't ever tell me how you used to attend. I said, well, I hope you start coming back in this new year. But they can't guess, because nobody could look at my life and guess what I do. Because what I do is by the grace of God. And it's because shortly after I got saved, I began to believe something I had never believed before. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm blessed going, I'm blessed coming, and everything I touch shall prosper. Whether I feel like it or not, whether I act like it or not, it doesn't change the fact of what I am and who I am, and more importantly, what I can become through Christ our Lord, King and Savior. Come on, let's thank him for that, church family. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you today, and I thank you that by your Spirit you've spoken truth into our hearts. Blessed are you if you know these things and do them. May we apply them in our lives, Lord. And I pray your favor and blessing over every person, over their life. I pray every curse be broken in the name of Jesus by the shed blood of Christ 2,000 years ago, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and by the prophetic spoken word over your life. I declare you are blessed. You're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You will be blessed going and coming, and everything you touch will prosper and will begin today moving forward in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. Say it with your own mouth, mean it from your own heart, and Christ will change your life from the inside out. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. I am the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I'm blessed going and I'm blessed coming, and everything I touch shall prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church family.